Welcome back to another episode of the Jewish Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with Doron Sheffer. He played Division I basketball for the UConn Huskies and won Big East Conference Rookie of the Year, the Big East Championship 3 years in a row, and was named to the school's All 20th Century Team while doing so much more. He was then drafted by the LA Clippers before going to play in Israel and winning 4 straight Israeli League Championships. He is now a speaker, life coach, workshop presenter, and writer. He has published 2 books, Anani and The Game of Life. Doron, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on. There are so many different things to discuss and so much within each one. So I'll try to attack things in somewhat of a chronological order, starting with basketball. Can you discuss basketball in your younger years and what it was like being one of the first Israelis playing Division I basketball in America?
You know, when I grew up, I played basketball, but that was just another one of my thing that I liked to do. It was also... And there was a lot of activities as a youth growing up in my neighborhood, soccer and tennis and youth group. As a kid, I don't remember that I had dreams about what I want to be when I grow older, but I knew that I didn't want to be a basketball player, you know? I always felt uncomfortable being high, the tallest guy in class. I felt, you know, I was walking bent for years. But, you know, finally, what changed my mind regarding the game was that in the age of 16, I was good of what I'm doing in, on the court. And they invited me to the national Israeli youth group. It's the best 12 players until age 16. First time I played in the European Championship and against the best teams in Europe and the players. And then I noticed that I'm competing against them, you know, as equal. That was before I put any... effort off the court, you know, after practices. I never stayed late, never came early, just playing based on my talent and gift that I got. And at that point, I said, look, you know, I got a gift. I should try and, you know, see how far can I go with it. And, you know, in the next 20 years, the game became a big, big part of my life. And still today, the game is a big part that involves in what I'm doing today, mainly taking the game to educational and therapeutic tool to work with kids and adults and working through the game, you know, getting to the hearts of the kids and the fans.
Very nice. When you went to UConn, it was, at least to the outsiders, only successful. You got to play with Ray Allen, and we mentioned some of the awards you won. You're the only player from UConn with over 1,000 points and 500 assists in just 3 varsity seasons. What was it like actually playing? Did the success ever get to your head? Was it something in which, having just started playing seriously, you didn't even know how good you could be?
You know, dealing with success is a big challenge, you know. On one side, you have to know how to deal with failures. And the other side, with success, you know, you cannot win all the games. I think this is one of the biggest gifts from the game, you know, that taught me along the journey how to find the balance, you know, during all this intense reality that I took a part of with, you know. People don't understand how intense it is to play professional basketball or any professional sport on the body and on the mind, you know. Pressure for young kids to deal with a lot of, with success, like you said, a lot of money, a lot of fame. And for me, it was it's an endless challenge that also continue in my life. But definitely it helped me to actually it started my spiritual journey in order to seek a tools and way how to find balance in my life, because I noticed, I remember when I started my career, and it was maybe easier with successes, but because there was something in me that stayed with the foot on the ground. But after losses and when I didn't play well, it was very hard for me to deal with the, you know, what they write in the media and how people and fans might boo you at times. And, you know, for me, I understood in the early age that I cannot be, my happiness and health cannot be, and serenity cannot be dependent on how much I scored or if we win or lose. Because you cannot win every game and you cannot make any shot, every shot. So for me, it was a beginning of a spiritual journey to start to seek in the inner space in me how to find balance in life, you know, win, lose. Sometimes things go better, some not. But, you know, and this brought me to places in my spirit, in my soul, you know, searching in Buddhism and shamanism and coming back to our roots, to Judaism, to find ways to be a much more happy person than I was in the past. And through those crises, I grew up and became a much better player and eventually, more important, a better human being.
Nice. I'll follow up with the spiritual journey soon. But after you played college basketball, you got drafted with the 36th overall pick, but chose to play basketball in Israel. Why did you choose to play in Israel over the NBA?
Yes, they chose me in the second round. They invited me to the summer camp in LA, and I didn't play well there. I got injured, and the coach told me, Bill Fitch, look, Doron, you know, go back to Israel, to Europe, get some more experience, and try to come back to us later. So definitely I wanted to make it to the NBA, but it didn't work out. And it was also, you know, you talked before about Connecticut, you know, about Ray Allen. And speaking of him, you know, as a teammate and a good friend, he's an example really of a person that made it happen not only on the basketball court but also off the court, as he's doing a lot of things. I don't know if you're aware, we're now in the day of the Holocaust in Israel. They memorize the Holocaust, and I don't know if you heard of the story about Ray connection to the Holocaust. Did you hear it?
No.
So the story happened years ago when Ray once played in the NBA in Washington, and he went to visit the Holocaust Museum. You know, there's one big in Jerusalem and in Washington. He said he was blown out. He never knew that happened. You know, many people don't know about it. They don't teach them. And he felt very identified with it as an Afro-American, you know, and the using the week. And he got a part of the director, the board of directors in the Holocaust Museum, and he started to take groups to Auschwitz. Auschwitz is a camp in Poland, and it's amazing. I read one article in him, and I got to see him a few months ago when he came to Israel to make sure it's true. He said he felt, and you know, talking about peace and respecting everybody, and he said when he was in the camp, he felt that he's a reincarnation of somebody that was in the Holocaust.
Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah, so it's a big inspiration of doing, bringing good to this world that needs a lot of messages and acts and words of peace and togetherness and humbleness and etc.
Very nice. What was it like playing in Israel? I think at some point in your career, you took a sudden retirement and kind of removed yourself from the public eye and went to India, South America, and Costa Rica while also dealing with a cancerous tumor at the time. Can you let us into what you were going through, what it was like, and how you overcame it?
Yes, to begin with my retirement, it was really an unconventional one. It was in the age of 28, in my peak of my career, you know, playing with Maccabi Tel Aviv. We made it that year to the finals in Europe. And I said, you know, in that a very special retirement press conference, that my heart told me, you know, it was really, people, it was hard to understand. But what I explained later is, with all the blessing that the game gave to my life, it was a very, very intense situation and reality to be with from an early age, you know, practices and games, and they judge you about every game again and again. And you know, in a certain point I felt, you know, I want to do more things in my life, to experience other places, not to be, you know, all year long around the game when the league was over, the national team started, you know, weekends, Saturdays, vacation. And something in me, you know, the soul wanted to let go, you know, and go deeper in my spiritual journey. At that point, I felt, you know, I cannot bring 100% to the game, and out of respect to the game, I felt, you know, I have to make a timeout to stop and to start a new chapter in my life. And then it was really a very special time, you know, seeking. And going to India and South America, learning, you know, from Buddhism, from shamanism, getting tools to live my life in a more balanced, more happy, more healthy way, things that I use until today, and later on coming back to the roots, back home to the Judaism and the Bible and the Torah. And a year after I'm retired, you know, they discovered me a tumor. You know, obviously it was not something easy to deal with, but you know, it was the a benign, you know, the one that spread, the tumor that spread in the body. It didn't spread, but it had the potential. And at the beginning, my instinct was okay. And, you know, it obviously I was shocked, and you know, a lot of fears and a lot of questions. But you know, the first I said, okay, let's make an operation and get back to my life. But then I realized that, you know, even if I take the tumor out of my body, and I don't take responsibility of what I you know, how I lived, and what I'm responsibility to cause my body to come out of balance, you know, because my body was screaming something is not well. So I said, you know, even if I take it out of my body without taking responsibility of what's my part in the tumor to change bad habits and to live more healthy, even if I take it out, it will come back later again because I didn't change the go to the root. And it was important to me. I understood that I have to go to the root, even if I do operation or not. I have to deal with the root, take responsibility. And I went to what I defined the training camp of my life, you know, seeking tools and ways and inspiration people to see how to learn from this crisis, to get healthy and to live my life in a more happy and balanced way, and in all levels, physical level, mental level, spiritual level. And I changed my diet and started to eat more healthy, made exercise in a more moderate way, you know, a lot of working about values and you know, tools to deal with pressures and with jealousy. And you know, I could see that a lot of years I kept inside of me things that I suppressed and didn't deal with, you know, either fears, either anger, and learning to deal with it, learning to let it out, utilize it to growth and to add more happiness, more joy, more love, more giving to my life, and getting stronger with faith, and a lot of changes and things that I did, that I said, you know, I write it in my book that, you know, I felt like, you know, it's a rebirth for me, you know, I really feel that I changed so deep patterns in my life and bad habits that it was really, you know, something so rejuvenating. And then after that, I came back to play, and it was really a special experience, you know, coming back to the game in a more balanced way. I said it. I came back and played in Jerusalem. We won the European Championship, and for me, it was like, you know, coming back to the same courts, same players, same coaches, same fans, but a whole new ball game because I changed, the game changed. And you know, when in the past I used to play, and after we lost or after I didn't play well, it took me, you know, a few days, few weeks to recover. And, you know, thinking too much what people say or don't say. Now I played much more relaxed, much more balanced. I didn't afraid to take responsibility, to make mistakes. If we lost, I got recovered much quicker. And it was for me a big lesson that I cherish it until today, that, you know, reality as we see it, you know, the key is inside of us. If we change, reality change with us. Okay, like heaven and hell, it's in our mind. And when we look about good about life, when we live in a more healthy, balanced, positive way, then the things we do, if it's on the court, if it's with our wife, in our jobs, you know, with our family, everything will have a better quality.
Wow, it seems like you had a personal success in your journey, and it gives others what to think about. Can you elaborate on the religious part of your journey? I think you grew up in a secular home in Tel Aviv, and then you play in UConn in Israel, go on this journey all over the world, and now you're an observant Jew. How exactly did you go from point one to point two?
Yeah, I prefer not to, you know, how do you say it when you put the labels, you know, I'm trying to be a simple Jew, a simple person, you know. More religion, less religions, you know, it depends who you ask a lot of time. But definitely coming back to the root was very natural for me because it's coming back home. you know, seeking for ways and tools how to live life, like I said, more healthy, more balanced, brought me natural back to my, you know, my roots, my Torah, and things that I didn't find, although I have much respect to Buddhism and shamanism, and it's all combined, you know, it's not a contradiction to be a Jew and also to meditate, okay, or do yoga. But I really, in our Torah, I find what I didn't find enough in other places is how to bring the high speaking and words of love and unity and patience into the day-to-day life. Because in Buddhism, for example, a lot of people will tell you, you know, don't get married, don't get a job, just stay all day meditation, be spiritual. And this is something that wasn't right for me. And, you know, I was looking how to live peacefully and happily and healthy in with my wife and doing business, you know, and being honest and being sincere. So that was a big challenge to combine the spiritual world to the material world, okay? And this is something I really find in our Torah. And also a lot of emphasizing on, you know, on good values. That for me, this is being a religious person, is being a mensch. You know what's a mensch?
Yeah.
It's a person with good values, okay? So for me, this is, I think I say today, basketball is, for me, it's analog for the game of life. And if there's a target, the most important target that I think there is in life is to be a good person, you know, live peace with ourselves and with our parents, with our family, with our friends, and with our neighbors. This is the most important thing for us. And, you know, when we set a good example, a personal example, I think Einstein said, it's not the best way to influence others and to make a difference. It's the only way.
Interesting. It seems that you have successfully carried and continued your inspiration and mentality that you picked up during the break in your Israeli playing career and let it drive you through the second half of your career and helped you write the books and lead to the public speaking. One of the challenges many people have is that they get inspired or have a mentality change, but lose it very quickly. So how do you recommend others be able to keep their life-changing experiences and mentality shifts with them for a long period of time like you have?
I think, you know, a lot of things that we're missing in this generation is the... you know, coming back and use our ability, you know, to slow down, to be more observant people, you know. I think that the pace of the world, that everything is becoming more fast, more higher, stronger, bigger, and we forgot to breathe along the way, you know, to stop and to observe and to cherish the all the special moments that we go through life, to learn from them, to grow from them, okay? So this is very important. And once you start slow down, once you start, you know, observing, not taking things for granted, you know, you can find during your life, each and every one of us, you know, special moments, special incidents that we can grow from. Every day, every moment can be a potential to life changing. A podcast, you know, a conversation between two people, it can be life changing. You know, you give a good word to somebody, you make him more happy, and this is everything we can do. We have to stop, ask ourselves, where are we running to? You know, what's the target? Okay, somebody gave me a nice analog about humankind, like, you know, the Roadrunner, the cartoon.
No, I've heard of it, but I don't know it.
Yeah, anyway, somebody is running, a fox there, and, you know, running fast, and eventually he comes to a cliff, he goes over the cliff, you know, and okay, about the COVID, that it was one of the gifts that we learned, I personally, and I think it's a lesson for all of us, you know, to stop the race of life, you know, to come back and appreciate and enjoy the simple things, the small things. You know, we're breathing without equipment, we're alive, we have a family, food on the table. You know, it's a big lesson for us to, you know, balance the way we live. And I think overall, you know, humanity got a little bit taking things too fast without asking the right question, without breathing along the way and observing what are we doing, why are we doing, what's the purpose in our journey. And it's something very important to do every day. Then you can learn to precious a lot of moments and utilize them to growth, you know. And this is something that I do in my life.
Very nice. I think you have written two books. The first was Anani, a book where you talk about the beginning of your life story, a personal and painfully honest story filled with ups and downs. Having gone through so much at such an early stage in your life, how did you gather together the details and mentally make yourself put so much emotion, experiences, and thoughts all into this one book?
It was a big challenge, you know. I think in many ways, a bigger challenge to win a championship. And you know, I was never pregnant before, but it felt like, you know, being pregnant with something. It took me 9 years, you know, with a lot of stops and thinking and hesitating, because it definitely wasn't easy to explore and share very intimate moments and feeling in my life. And you know, I wasn't sure really that I want to publish it. But then I understood that, you know, God made me famous for a reason. I have responsibility. People are curious. People are interested to hear my story, my unconventional one. And I see it, you know, as a big privilege that I can share it and help people in their journey become more happy, more healthy, more balanced. And definitely, you know, I today feel very proud of this book, that, you know, people write to me and call me and stop me in the street and tell me how it touched their life and changed their life for the good. And yeah, my second book is more basketball orientated. It's like short stories from my career, and then with different kind of messages, good messages through the stories, educational one, therapeutic one. For youth and for adults. And this book I just translated to English recently.
Can you talk about, and you don't have to give away the whole book so that people still buy it and gain a lot from it, but can you share your general approaches towards mindful presence and how to experience going through life?
So the second game, second book is the translate in English. The translation is Mensch VP. Becoming the most valuable player in the game of life. Okay, we talked about Mensch being a person with good values, and this is the book with the stories of my career and about Michael Jordan, about Ray Allen, you know, a meeting that I got with Michael in the past. But each story has, you know, really a message for the readers, and I'm showing that we're playing a much, much bigger game than what we play on the basketball court. And like I said, it's the challenge of being a mensch, being a good person that, you know, bring this planet that we live on, you know, words of peace, thoughts of happiness, you know, deeds of unity, things that are so important that you can learn through the game, you know, the game of basketball. You can learn out of it a lot from it to learn to the game of life, like dealing with crises, dealing with success, you know, working as a teammate, a lot of things, you know, that we deal in business life, in family life, in our spirit, inside of us. So that it has a lot of good stories and ideas and tools to help us as readers how to live life in that way and through the game. Like I said, I quote in the beginning of the book, Michael Jordan, that said that the game for him was the visa to the hearts of the fans. And I feel the same, that through my the game, and people know me through the career that I got published, now I can bring them something that I believe it's much more important than what I did, score another 3 points or win a championship. And I just came back of a tour in the US, you know, making lectures in Connecticut. I visit the university where I played, and they won the championship later on. It was very special and exciting to see the friends, the Husky family, like they call them. And then I was in a Israeli community in New Jersey and in Atlanta, and Jewish community, very special, talking about the book, lecturing and telling my life story, doing basketball clinics with all the educational messages and therapeutic tools. And this is what I try to do today, to bring life and the people I meet, either as a coacher, as a writer, as, you know, on the street, to bring positive energy. You know, the world needs this: good thoughts, good words, good behavior, good values. This is a big key for us to see that heaven is in here. You know, if we live in peace together, this is a very strong message that I try to remind myself and to live that way and to remind others.
Wow, very nice. I'll put links to buy your books in the podcast description. And the second book, Game of Life, Mensch VP, is in English now for those who want. We'll conclude the episode the same way all of them end, which is, I know that you've been interviewed by other news outlets and asked a lot of questions as a player by the fans and media then, and even in the street you get questions. But despite the constant stream of questions being directed to you, there are always questions people wished they were asked, which they never were. So looking back to all the questions you have been asked, what's a question you wished you asked and that you never were, and what's the answer?
It's a good question. I didn't think about it, what people want me, what I want people to ask me. I think it's more important what the person in front of me wants to ask, because, you know, I'm speaking with him, and it's more important what he's interested of what he wants to hear or what subject he wants me to talk about. So no matter what people ask me about, I find myself a lot of time coming back to the point of, you know, with the messages and the understanding and the importance of living more healthy, more balanced, more happy people, and being a mensch, you know, it might be a common goal for everybody, because it's a win-win. When we are better people and we act like that, everybody enjoy us more and can get more of us, and it's good energy, and like a pledge, you know, like COVID is spreading, love can spread as well, you know, it's energy. Okay, so good deeds, good thoughts, and everybody can be a winner in this game. You know, you don't have to win a championship, don't have to make an exit or be a famous person. You know, in your place, when you make a podcast with good messages, when you know, respect the elders, when you help somebody that is in trouble, you know, make charity deeds. These are all great, great things that we all can do, and they make a difference.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing with us different parts of your journey in terms of basketball and your books and the mental component to life. As I mentioned before, I'll put links to your website and your books in the description so that everybody could and should check them out. And thank you again for joining.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that'll be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.